Richard's not here this morning, but he had an idea that I thought was a great idea, that we just took some time for our people to share ways God has blessed you, things God has done in your life, maybe looking at the last year, but it didn't have to be the last year. And I hope that we can just sort of incorporate more of this into our services, because God's been working in your lives. And I know there wasn't that many, like 20 of us here last Sunday. I mentioned that we were going to do this. I probably should have sent an email out ahead of time letting people know, but we're just going to have the mic here, and if anybody would just like to share how God has blessed you, how he's worked in your life over this last year. Otherwise, I can bring my short message and we can go home in about 10 minutes, but I hope it doesn't come to that. And I'll start us off. There's one thing that I really am grateful for, and I don't know how well I've communicated this, but I've had the buzzword for our day is vision. Got to have a vision, and so on, and misinterpret the passage about where there's no vision, the people perish. It's where there's no prophetic revelation, the people's hearts are bent on evil. God gives us a vision already in his word for his church. He's his vision. But I have had a vision in this sense. What I have thought would be the way I think a church that honors God should be. I've just seen things over my life. I'm been greatly blessed by the Reformed people. People like R.C. Sproul, John MacArthur, John Piper. What I've most appreciated about them is their high view of God. A recognition when you walk in through those doors that you've crossed over from the profane to the sacred. This is holy time that the people of God are coming before a holy God who's redeemed them by his grace. And with a reverence for God, a sense of awe of God, the majesty of God. And God has blessed us with a worship leader who has that vision, and I'm grateful for that. I was talking with Tim when him and Cheryl went to Florida, and I said, what was R.C. Sproul's church like? You know, and Cheryl had sent us a thing on Facebook, and she talked about the reverent worship of God that took place in this church. But on the other side of it, or maybe complementing it, the other side of the coin, they went to a Calvary Chapel out there, and Tim said it was just so awesome how these people just welcomed us, and just how warm they were to receive us and so on. And I've always thought of that, even with church architecture, you know, with the vaulted ceilings of a lot of these churches and the cruciform of the sanctuary and all that, a sense of the majesty and awesomeness of God. But then I always think of like Calvary Chapel, Costa Mesa. In the sense you get from their architecture, just God's arms are wide open. Whosoever will, let them come. And that there should be a balance. God's not our buddy. We don't go up and slap him on the back and hang out with God, and he's just a buddy of ours. No, God is holy. He's the almighty, awesome, holy God. And we're to come boldly to his throne, but reverently to his throne with a sense of his majesty. But we need to be people that will welcome people who care about people, and we want anybody we come in contact to know, look, whosoever will, let him come. Whosoever wants to take the water of life freely, Jesus' hands are wide open. Come to me, all you that labor and are heavy laden. And I've just seen how God is working that out with you guys. And I'm very thankful for that. I have a sense of reverence for God, but you welcome people. And you care about people. And I just, Geraldine's not here today, but I know that Lynn's family has been really blessed by the way you guys have ministered to them. And I know I'm speaking for Lynn myself, the love you've poured out to her and to her family and the practical ways you've ministered to them. And you really have this wonderful balance of reverence for God, combined with open arms, just wanting to welcome people, love people, wanting people to to feel welcome and to never, ever, ever forget we're sinners saved by grace. We're one beggar telling another beggar where to find bread. So I'm thankful to God and thankful to you guys. And just take some time. Anything you want to share about what God has done, please come on up here and share with us.
Since I'm up here,
might as well.
I just want to thank everybody here for, like Gary said, just the heart that everyone has here. There's just a feeling of love in the church for one another. And Lynn, we're really going to miss you. And I really miss Roger. But I'm just thankful that that Jerry Lynn is going to take you up there and take care of you. We, you know, you always regret not getting to know people as well as you want to, because you never know when you're not going to see them on a regular basis. But I feel like I got to know Roger pretty well. He'd offer me an announcement every day when we'd, or every Sunday when we'd finish up with the rehearsal. And I'll always remember he brought it to me, and I meant to share this at the funeral. Sorry, but he brought me the music sheet when we were still putting lyrics on the paper, and he said, "Hey, Howard, there's a typo on this sheet." It didn't, you know, we'd get them from time to time anyway. I said, "Oh, really? Well, where is it? So I can make a note on it and fix it in the computer." And, "Oh, it's in the title of this song." He said, "Here it says, 'Lord, reign in me,' but it should be, 'Lord, reign me in.'" And that's just so Roger, but I just wanted to say in front of you all too how thankful I am for my family and my girls. And as John was praying, it is tough to let them go, but you have to. With Hallie, it wasn't too hard because she's so independent. I didn't really worry, but reality's hitting that Cammie's graduating high school this year, and it looks like she'll be going to Arizona to school. Hallie will be halfway around the world in a week. But I'm just thankful for you guys. I'm thankful for my family, and I'm thankful for God, whose promises are there. We're not promised a perfect life here, but we are promised eternal life in Him. And I'd pray that that the Lord drives that home to me in my life through this year, and that He would do the same for you all, that we would keep trying to see through that glass dimly lit. And I just am looking forward to 2017 with all of you.
Good morning. I have so much to be thankful for. God put us on that that store to run into Trish to lead us here to this body. You all treat us so good, and the word pastor is awesome. we've been to places where, I don't know, we just don't feel at home, and here we do. And I'm also thankful for the Lord to allow my wife to go back to school in her youthful age, and she does so well. And he's kept my family together. We have our struggles, but we still have that love that Christ put in us. And I want to thank you all for making us feel at home. And we feel so at home here. Thank you.
Hi, my name's Sonia, and I wanted to share a blessing through Bible Club. So when I became a Christian, I was 16 years old, and I knew that one of the reasons to be a Christian is to share the gospel. So in college, I tried, and we had outreaches to practice sharing the gospel with people, and I wasn't very good at it. And then in Gallup, when I moved to Gallup after college, we also had a week. I mean, usually like once a month, the church would get together and we'd go door to door. And so we'd be in a team of like four people and go share the gospel. And so we'd go, and usually people weren't really receptive, except every week we'd have one person who you knew that God had it all planned out. We were supposed to be there at that time, where they were open and they wanted to hear the gospel and we could pray with them. And so that happened usually once every 4 months. But then when we moved to Edgewood and I got to know Gail, being a part of the Bible clubs, I was scared to work with the children. But the cool thing was is that whether you taught the story or whether you taught the Bible verses, whether you did the games, whether you led worship with the kids, we all had to share the gospel. So I got to share the gospel every week. And the kids, their hearts are so open. And then I got trained in how to lead children to the Lord. And it was so awesome when little ones can identify what their sin was, that they need a Savior, that they know who the Savior is, Jesus Christ, and they want to worship him and they want to accept him into their heart. And it was just a really great experience. And so I got to say the name of Jesus Christ every week. Whereas I can remember for years, I wouldn't really say his name out loud except at church. And so the Bible clubs are just so amazing if you can be a part of it. And then 2 years ago, I started working full-time again, so I'm not able to do the Bible clubs in the schools, but now I'm the prayer coordinator. And I felt honored that Gail needed assistance in organizing the prayers for the Bible clubs, so I send out a prayer request usually once a month and sometimes more often. And now I get to see God's power in answered prayer. And that's one of the best ways to really get to know that our Lord is risen and he's alive is when he answers prayer. And it's just so powerful. So I've been doing that since August, and I believe that we've had like 39 answered prayers that have been like pretty serious answered prayers since then. So it's just awesome to see God work, that he's alive, that he reigns in our lives, and that he has a plan for each one of us. It's just really, really awesome. So I really encourage you to practice saying Jesus Christ and saying his name out loud through the week, and practice sharing the gospel. It's scary, it's hard, but it feels, I mean, it's good to do it. Everyone needs to hear it, and that's why we were created, was to worship him and share him to all creation. So, all right, 2017, here we come.
That's a good thing. So, you know, a lot of us have talked about family, and that is definitely a big one. And we, when we talk to people about our church, we always refer to our church as our church family. Some people are like, huh? They go to church, but you don't necessarily have the family there. But anyway, the first thing on our list is it's been a year now, right? That we got the building. So it's it was free. And we're getting really close, so I can give you an update on that. The lawyer sent paperwork to a judge to sign. He was a little confused on what he was supposed to do and sent it back to him and said, you know, give me some more information and make this easier. And so they're doing what they got to do. The next one is our small congregation of loving people, and through all these different things, you know, like we saw Roger go home to see the Lord, and everybody's pouring out the love to Lynn, and all the different things that you guys do, and some that we don't even see, you know, others don't even see that, you know, you're helping others in the church. And that's pretty awesome. Follow the Sun Bible Club in Albuquerque. Cheryl was very, very blessed to be there, even though it can be a struggle at times. It's like herding cats at times, she said. But she's still blessed being able to share the word of Christ with those kids. Another thing was our move to Albuquerque. It's been a couple of years since we moved to Albuquerque, but it's been a blessing where we're at, and also being able to retire. And I think most of you know that later this month I should be starting with the Forest Service, and that has been a blessing as well, because when you retire from the military, there's this week-long briefing on stuff to prepare you to go out into the world, because some people they've been in the military for 20 years, they don't know anything else. They've never applied for any other job, and so they teach you how to do those things and how to assimilate back into the world and into the civilian community. But this job that I got is, I was telling Gary and Richard, it's definitely, it's not anything that I can claim that I did. It was the Lord orchestrating different people in my life and putting me in different areas, and got to meet some people that work at the Forest Service who are recruiters, and, you know, I was a recruiter for the military, and help them set up an outreach to veterans, because there's a veterans program. You know, if you're qualified, they could hire a veteran directly without having to interview others. And so we did that outreach with different branches of the military, and before I know it, they're telling me, hey, why don't you come over and see our building? And they introduce me around the building like I'm the next team member, and they offer me a job. So it's pretty awesome. And that was my dream job. When you go through these the seminars, if you're retiring, you need to put down a couple of dream jobs, because you've already done all this other stuff. So, you know, think big. And, you know, it's nothing big or anything, you know, working for the Forest Service, just something that I wanted to do. And so it's, like, it's hard to believe sometimes. But, you know, the Lord does what he wants to in our lives, and blesses us how he wants to, and we'll take it. Let's see. The other one is our children following Christ and possible weddings. So we're very blessed that all of our children are following the Lord, and the Lord is blessing each and every one of them. So Daniel, he's the deputy with Bernalillo County. He has a very beautiful, wonderful girlfriend that he's had for like 3 years now. And so I had been talking to him, you know, over this last year. And so I saw him a couple of weeks ago. So when's the wedding? And he's like, what? When's the wedding? And so he'd been thinking more about it. So he's thinking that he's going to propose soon. And so Josh, him and Josh may do something together. Josh has a beautiful young lady who, through some words of wisdom from Howard and Tawny, because she was not necessarily a practicing Mormon, but she was raised Mormon. Now she gave her life earlier this year. So she's a believer, and Josh said if she came to know the Lord, he'd marry her. So let me see. The third one is Jill. Kind of a funny story with Jill, because she's met a couple of people over the past few years, and when a young lady has lots of brothers, they got to pass the brother test, and they didn't. Nope, he's a dirtbag. Like, what? Wait a minute. I didn't even get to meet him yet. And nope, don't even worry about it, Dad. He's a dirtbag. Okay. So the young man that she's seeing at the moment, I've known him since he was a little kid, and we know his family, and he's also in the military. And it was before we left for vacation that Jill and Brooke were at a Bible study, and this boy's name is Scott, and they were at a Bible study with another young man, and Scott and this other young man, Chris, they knew each other. They weren't good buddies or anything, but they knew each other, and so afterwards, they decided they'd go out to Dion's for pizza, and so the girls are talking to Scott, and Scott's leading in prayer, and Jill was telling me she was very impressed with him, and you know, this, that, and the other, and she figured out who he was, but he didn't ask enough questions to know who she was. And so I thought, I should call him. And I waited a couple of weeks, and Cheryl, did you call him yet? You gonna call him? You should call him. So took the phone out in the garage, called him up, hey, Scott. And so I told him, you know, those two girls you were with, you didn't ask enough questions. He's, well, you know, after a few days, I kind of figured out who they were. Yep, they're my daughters. And I said, just so you know that this friend, Chris, and her are not together. So you are very welcome to call her. He says, oh, okay, I'll keep that in mind. So we went off for vacation, and a couple of weeks go by, and he called her. And it's been going very, very well ever since. He's a very strong Christian young man, and Jill is so impressed with him. And his mom and dad are happy that he's finally, you know, met somebody like her, and we're happy, you know. So 2017 could be very busy for weddings. And Jill did tell him, I think it was a few days later, she asked me, Dad, did you call Scott? Yep, sure did. And so she had to let him know that she knew that I called. Let's see. So one thing that Cheryl is happy about, that God's removed her desire to have a photography business. She's been doing mostly here this past couple years is real estate photography, and some people want to do the drone business and things like that, and she doesn't want to get into that. But instead, having more of a ministry towards Christian legacy photography, and what that is, she came up with the idea to talk with her mom. You know, you talk with grandma, and she tells you all these stories when she was a kid, and, you know, and grandpa, he did this and did that, and you know, after they're gone, you're like, boy, I wish I would have wrote that down. Anybody remember, you know, what grandma or grandpa said about this? So her and her brother got together, got the video camera, and, you know, just talked on video and talked about all these different things in her life. And she's 86 and still has a really good memory, and she's recovered very well after that surgery. But so she is on video for everybody to see, and you're going to do it for Vic and Betty also. So that's something kind of cool. If you know, you think about doing that with somebody, get them on video. Let's see, learning to fight for life of those who want to live, which is Cheryl's mom. So it's been almost a year, 9 months, I think, since she had that surgery, and things went bad, and you know, it looked like we were going to lose her in the hospital, but she's a fighter, and she finally recovered. And in fact, now when she was at the house for Christmas, she didn't have her walker with her. She walked right in out of the car, and still got the oxygen tank, but she's doing pretty well. And so just encourage everyone that, you know, if you have a elderly loved one, Elaine is another example. She had surgery here last week or so, and I was talking with Janice last night about her, and she said, boy, she's a fighter. I wish I had that much energy that she has. And Elaine is, what, 90 or? 88. Yeah. And, yep, she's starting to get better after that surgery. So glad to see that so many people want to fight for life. And it's amazing how God has put that in us. Even though, you know, we're believers, you know, can't wait to get to heaven, we still want to fight for life here because we have our loved ones here. But so many blessings for 2016. Can't wait for this year to start.
years ago, but I'm just thankful for that foundation because it stayed with me still to this day. So I'm just thankful for all of you and how you opened your arms to us. And I pray that eventually we can be a little stronger and more open to you as well. We're a little bit reclusive, but so just thank you.
Chickening out. I'm a lot gather. Volunteers.
That's why I didn't say much, because I've been balling too.
This fellowship is remarkable. And we are so blessed to have your interest. There are so few churches of Jesus Christ anymore. There's lots of party places to go. Lots of let's go Sunday morning and make an appearance and then go home. We've done our duty. There's so few Bible teaching churches anymore. And we've been blessed to have one. Really love you guys. I mean, just amazing, amazing people that God has brought together. I'm such a whiny baby. I have been blessed, wow, so much in my life. I have a personal family that is absolutely incredible. We had more fun than anybody should have.
They're
all
monkeys.
Hmm? They're all monkeys. My friend told me, this is your circus and those are your monkeys. And I thought, ooh. But I'm blessed that they all pretty much live together in one area. And I just got back. I spent Christmas with my kids, my boys, and their families. And my two brothers, that we haven't spent Christmas together in almost 60 years. And that was so cool to be together. And they're insane people. And to have everybody on one street that everybody loves so deeply and cares so deeply. And then I have this family that everybody loves and cares. And then God's blessed me with a group of ladies that are just absolutely fantastic, our Bible study on Monday, and then another group of wonderful people on Tuesday, and it's like, you think your heart can't get any bigger, you know, you can't take in much more, but there's always room for more, and there's always room for more people, and just, God is so good, and let me tell you how personal God is, if you don't know. I lose things all the time. I mean, all the time. And I ask God to show me where it is, and he does. Now, as trivial as that sounds, God cares enough about us that he doesn't like to see me walking in circles saying, what did I do with it? Where did I put it? And he'll just tell me. And that's the God that we serve, that is big enough to hold the stars in place and small enough to keep track of where I put things. And not just me, but everybody. Our blessings, if we're open to it and we recognize it, the stop and smell the roses. Have you ever looked at the little tiny, tiny flowers that God puts out there that you just don't pay attention to mostly? The detail in those little flowers is phenomenal. We don't need color to survive. We don't need smell and taste to survive. But God gave us that just because he could. And then he filled the world with wonderful things just so we could use those wonderful things that he gave us. Learn your God. Learn who he is. Get to know him. He'll blow your mind.
Anybody else? All right. And I had a few things here that I wanted to make sure of. One last thing is, we've got a copy of the directory back there, the church directory. And if you have anything to update or if your name isn't on it, if you please put your information on it, we want to update that. And the only other thing I wanted to share with you all is if you would, you know, we pray for you and your families. If you would get me a list of either get me a list of it or could write it on there or bring it to the next prayer meeting, but a list of your children and your grandchildren and great grandchildren. The thing that just weighs on me more than anything, thinking now, Hallie going to Scotland, our kids are getting older. Some of your kids are already, you know, they're out of your control. They're just out there. But to just be continuing to bring our children before God's throne by name and our grandchildren. And I remember Dr. Dobson's talking about his great-great-grandfather of his was praying for generations down the road of their family. You know, we ask God for them all the way to the end of the age. But if you would, I would love to have the names of children, grandchildren, whoever. And we need to keep praying for them. I just think of the assault from so many angles against the truth of God, from the academic world, from the practical atheism of the way we live our lives in this country, to the entertainment industry, anywhere you look, and it's just entrenched in so many different, just this huge, huge, massive war on the truth of God. And I just see more and more. I was talking with John about that this morning, that it's coming down to the same choice Adam and Eve had in the garden, the same choice the Lord Jesus Christ had in his temptation. Whose voice are you going to listen to? God's part of being an image bearer of God is the knowledge of God written on our hearts. Every one of us, every single person has a knowledge of God. But there are so many voices competing with the voice of God. We need to pray that our children and our grandchildren heed the voice of God, and he speaks through his word, but he's also written the knowledge of himself on our hearts. He's given us a conscience, but we need to be in, it's a spiritual warfare, and our weapons are not carnal. So I just really encourage you to give me those names, or if you want to put it on the directory, and we can have everybody praying. I'm just going to share briefly this morning from 2 Samuel chapter 23, beginning in verse 8, very briefly. Just one thing. It's New Year's resolution time. If our resolutions haven't already collapsed halfway through the day. But it is time, it is good to evaluate ourselves. And there's only one thing I want to, and of course, if you've known me any length of time, I have one drum I beat, so you probably already know what we're going to talk about today. But I wanted to just share something, just share with you a little bit in here. 2 Samuel chapter 23, verse 8. And this is the listing of David's mighty men of valor. These are the names of the mighty men whom David, had. These are it's like 37 names. We're told there's 37 of them here. These are like the SEAL Team 6 of David's army. These are like Delta Force or like his personal bodyguards, perhaps even. These are like the supreme heroes of David's army, the most courageous men, the most faithful men. And he goes through these names of these faithful men, these mighty men, and some of their exploits in battle, in combat. And by the way, I'm indebted to a man named Ed Clowney for the insights I'm sharing with you. In verse 12, he stations himself in the middle of the field. He defended it, one of David's mighty men. And then in verse 13, three of the 30 chief men came down at harvest time and came to David at the cave of Adullam. And the troop of Philistines encamped in the valley of Rephaim. Verse 14, David was then in the stronghold, and the garrison of the Philistines was then in Bethlehem. So we just celebrated Christmas. The Philistines have control over David's hometown of Bethlehem. And in verse 15, David said with longing, "Oh, that someone would give me a drink of the water from the well of Bethlehem, which is by the gate." In verse 16, the three mighty men of his, they're listed in little groupings, but these three mighty men broke through the camp of the Philistines, drew water from the well of Bethlehem that was by the gate, and took it and brought it to David. Nevertheless, he would not drink it, but poured it out to the Lord. So David's saying, wow, man, I would love to, I was going to say, have some of that Edgewood water, but no, he was one of some of the wells of Bethlehem. I love the water of Bethlehem. And these guys, actually, they're so loyal to David, so committed to him. They risk their lives just to bring him a drink of water from Bethlehem. And David is so taken by that. He says, there's no way I could drink this water. He says, I couldn't do that. He poured it out to the Lord. In verse 17, he says, "Far be it from me, O Yahweh, that I should do this. Is this not the blood of the men who went in jeopardy of their lives?" Therefore, he would not drink it. So he pours it out to the Lord. He says, only you, Lord, are worthy of that kind of loyalty. I'm not the man to be worthy of this kind of love and loyalty and affection like this. I'm going to pour this out to the Lord. I'm not about to drink this. So he's not wasting it, just the opposite. He's seeing who really would deserve this water. Because David understands something. He understands only our covenant God is faithful, perfectly faithful. Only he is worthy of that kind of praise, worship, and respect. And we have a very radical picture of that right here in this passage. Because David, these men show this kind of loyalty to David. And you read down through this list of men, all these different warriors, all these great, mighty men of valor. And look who the very last one is in verse 39. One of David's SEAL Team 6 Mighty Men of Valor was Uriah the Hittite. He was a mighty man of valor. And what did David do? He committed adultery with Uriah's wife, and he had Uriah murdered. He had him put out in the front lines. He knew this man was faithful. He wrote a note condemning this man, and he knew he's so faithful, he won't read the note. I can use him as my messenger for his own demise. Take him out in the heat of battle. Uriah will go and he'll fight anybody. He fears no man. Put him in the heat of battle and then withdraw from him and let him get killed. The great king of Israel did that to one of his mighty men of valor. He's absolutely right. Only God is worthy of this kind of sacrifice and praise. And only God is faithful, perfectly, completely, absolutely faithful. I was thinking about this week. One of my heroes that I've never met but been blessed by through their teachings and all. And I just read this week that the man fell. I remember Chuck Smith talking about how their pastors' conferences every year were bittersweet for him. He said it's so awesome to see all these pastors gathered together in one place serving the Lord. But he says it's also very sad seeing the ones who aren't here this year because they've disqualified themselves. And what I would just want to impress upon you is we talk about our family, and we are a family, how much we need each other, how important we are to one another, and how much of an effect we have on each other as we share our lives together. You know, I've shared with you how in the past how John MacArthur said one of the things that most gripped him in his need to walk close to God was when his teenage son said, "Dad, please don't ever fail morally. I don't think I could handle it." How crucial it is that we walk close to God. You read the account of David with Bathsheba, and you say, well, David let his guard down. It was a time when the kings go out to battle, and he stayed back, and he went up on the roof and saw her bathing. But I'm certain it began long before that in David's devotional life, in his inner life with God, his thought life, what he was doing with his time. It began before that. And what I wanted to just ask you, the one thing I would encourage you to examine yourself on as we're looking at this new year is your personal, just between you and God, your personal devotional life with God, your inner life. Everything flows out of our inner life. Our inner life, as a man thinks in his heart, so is he. So just to reflect upon your devotional life. I remember years ago reading C.S. Lewis, and C.S. Lewis said, I noticed that Christians, I've never seen a person argued out of the faith. I've never seen a person come across some argument that they can't overcome and they just abandon the faith. He said, everyone I've ever been aware of has just drifted away. They've just drifted away before they knew it, before you knew it, they're gone. Hebrews chapter 2 tells us to take more earnest heed to the things of Christ, the things of the gospel, the things of God, lest we drift from them. I remember as a kid, when we went to California, and my brother and I were riding on the boogie boards, and I was just out going out and coming in and coming in, and then I finally came back to the beach, and I couldn't find my brother, and I started walking up the beach, and finally I found him way up the beach, and he's like, "Where were you? I was looking all over for you." Well, I had looked at the lifeguard tower, and it was like number 13, and I said, "Well, that's where we were at." And it's like, no, it was actually like number 23. I had just drifted that far down without even knowing it, just going in and out, how imperceptible it can be even. But we can drift, and how so it's so crucial that you maintain your inner life with God, your personal relationship with him. For some reason, I don't know why I've been thinking about Chuck Smith lately, but as I was looking at this week, I was thinking of two lessons that I had learned from him over the years, just listening to him, have really impacted me, and I try to share with people very often. The first one is he said the single most important thing a Christian person, this isn't something to try to be saved, but the single most important thing you can be doing as a Christian is just flat out getting out your Bible and reading it every day, just to know God, just to spend time with the Lord. Like Sherry says, get to know your God. And then we got all kinds of other things to learn about him through the wonders of his creation. The fact that we don't need beauty to survive. God's just that good to want us to be able to enjoy beauty just to bless us. So to read your Bible every day, just to know God. We passed out it's the Bible reading plan that we're passing out to the men for the men's study. It's a Table Talk magazine Bible reading plan. And again, the Bible doesn't say thou shalt read through the Bible every year. It's just to help. I've found it a blessing in my life in a way that when I didn't follow a plan, and especially in a time of, say, like, sort of spiritual depression or something, and you're trying to find where to read. If nothing else, I can just go to this day's reading and hear from God. I've just really been blessed by it, you know. No kind of legalistic thing. If you miss a day, I wouldn't worry about trying to catch everything up. Just jump back in the day you're at. But just as an